strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Easy question for everyone out there. Who's ready? Come on now. Who is ready to rage? Because if you're not, you can feed off my energy. I'm just going to bring it, Wolf. I don't know if you know what it's like anymore to really bring it at kickoff time, Ron Wolfley. Are you ready over here?
Oh, I will never forget that, Paulie.
You're
don't
sure
worry
about that.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Don't need the requisite 18 cups of coffee before kickoff like you used to do back in the day.
Oh, no. Just give me the eye black, tee that ball up, and kick that thing, and we'll roll.
There shall be no excuse tonight. It's been a long 2 weeks, has it not, since we have raged here at... Oh, yes, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Now, just to refresh your memory in case you have short-term memory loss, okay, the last time we saw Calais Campbell right here, fine host of the Big Red Rage, was just the days preceding San Francisco. You were having a heck of a game, and then you left on a stretcher. You were carted off the field. And what did he do, ladies and gentlemen? 5 days later, he played maybe his best game of the season. How about that? So when I say Ron Wolfe, how you doing? I don't really mean it. It's sort of cursory, obligatory. But Calais Campbell, how are you doing?
I'm feeling great. I do feel good. You know, that was a scary moment. And the fact that I can still play the game that I love, you know, I have no reason to complain.
Calais, can you take us through that moment? What exactly were you feeling? Just take us through that moment.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like a stinger, but I felt it all the way through my body, all the way to my feet, my legs. And
you felt it all the way down to your legs.
Yes, first time in my career.
Because a stinger, a lot of times, for people that may not know, you get it in your neck and it'll go down your arms, right? And your fingers will tingle. You got it all the way down into your feet?
Yes. You know, I probably had, you know, I mean, in my career, maybe 20 stingers in my arm.
Right.
But that was the first time it's ever went to my legs.
Exactly.
And I was nervous. I was a little bit scared at the time, but once the feeling came back, I felt like I was okay, but the trainers wanted to make sure, because when it goes to your legs, it can be something serious.
What was your brain telling you when you were on the ground? What was it telling you? What did you continue to say to yourself as you were laying there?
When it first happened, I literally was just trying to make sure I could move on my body, you know, because I felt that tingling feeling. So I wasn't really sure, like, you know.
And you wanted to let mama know. You wanted to let your family know.
Yes, I did.
You know what? Hey, listen, I can move my hands. I saw you move your feet as well. That's code right there. Even though they're telling you, lay still. You know your family's saying, man, Calais, you got to show
please,
us.
Please
you
got to
show us some type of sign, right?
But it was probably the uncertainty, right? I mean, there's that fear that just you're unsure exactly what's going on. And you didn't really know till later at Stanford Hospital, I would presume.
Yeah. So once he said it could be something wrong with your neck, you know, people, they get tingling in their legs. It could be something serious. I was a little bit nervous. But I knew I had the feeling in my legs and my arms. I could move everything, and I had strength. So I figured that whatever it was could be fixed. So I wasn't really too stressed. But, I mean, that was a scary moment.
Wow. Was there build up to that, or was it just one instantaneous hit? And what was it? You ran into a teammate's hip? Is that what it was, ultimately?
Yeah, I guess it turned out to be that way. Literally, it wasn't a build up. Everything was fine. I was trying to make a play. Frank Gore was carrying the ball. I tried to put my helmet on the ball, and I missed and hit my teammate trying to tackle him. And guess I keep my head up from now on.
So was there any
Carlos, right?
Yeah, it was Carlos, yeah.
Was there any hesitation on Thursday night? Or, I mean, did you have to sort of test drive it, you know, in pregame? Did you have to make sure? I mean, did you have to sort of convince yourself you were good to go?
Yeah, I mean, it was that process. You know, I wasn't really sure, but I figured that I was going to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, then, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go with the pass rusher edition of the Big Red Rage tonight. How about the NFL's career active sacks leader going to join us in this edition? Absolutely, it's the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and John Abraham next, all presented by Santan Ford. Play action.
pass. Wilson hit. Fumble the ball. John Abraham came flying around the corner. And sack force fumble on Russell Wilson.
Oh, it is so good to see John Abraham get the edge on Bowie and make a play.
Play action pass for Wilson. In trouble. Sacking the ball. Comes out. And I think the Cardinals got it again. John Abraham forced the fumble.
Right around the corner comes John Abraham again. Gets the strip again. That is John Abraham, classic, vintage Abraham.
Yeah, if you're wondering what a playmaker sounds like, what a difference maker sounds like, there you go. John Abraham against the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday night. Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley. If you're wondering what a couple of sacks and a couple of forced fumbles sound like to increase his already leading total among all players currently active in the NFL, well, there you go. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and his very special guest. Take it from there, Calais.
Yeah, man. If you want to know what production means in the NFL, you think about a guy like this. This is Mr. Production, John Abraham.
Indeed.
Hola, hola, hola. I try. I try.
So, John, when you are called the NFL's career active sacks leader, I mean, how much pride do you take in that? That's quite an honor.
First of all, you feel old.
When Wolf uses a term like vintage, you know, exactly. You take that the right way, though, right?
No question. Yeah. No question. It's a pride thing. It makes you feel good. You know, it makes you want to keep playing. You know, last year was kind of a tough year for me, you know, coming to here from someplace else that I was there for a few years. So, you know, knowing that you still got something in the tank feels a little good.
You know, Johnny, it's funny because there's a guy walking around here at Marley's wearing a Jets jersey. And oh, there he is right there. Yeah, wearing a Jets jersey. And it's hard for me to remember you as a New York Jet. I remember you immediately when you say John Abraham. I think of the Atlanta Falcons and the way you ripped it up for, what, 8 years there?
Yeah. I think it was just because, you know, I was a younger player and I was in the North with the Jets. And when I came to the Falcons, it was more like I'm from the South. And, you know, being in the South, it was like people kind of know me more. And we actually had a lot more, I guess you could say, Thursday, you know, Monday night games and things when I was in Atlanta compared to when I was in New York.
What did you know about John Abraham before he came to the Cardinals, Calais, and how about now? How does the before and after jive?
I mean, all I really know is what he was on the field, you know, before. I mean, he's a stud. You know, I know he got sacks with the best of them, and he's a sack master. But after becoming teammates, you get to know him as a person, you know, get to understand his preparation, what he puts into the game, you know, I mean, the way he views the game, his passion for it. I mean, that's what you don't really get to see when you're just, co-workers on different teams, y'all. But for you to be teammates and become family, I mean, that's when you really get to know a true person.
I remember vividly some of the training camp additions of Big Red Rage, right? And you sort of always had half an eye on John Abraham. You know, and so did a lot of the younger guys. You're trying to learn stuff from a guy who's been so productive, who, you know, has been a double-digit sack guy virtually his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, still to this day, I always watch it when he's doing pass rush moves to study his game because I'm always trying to learn something, you know. And so everything he's doing, I'm observing, and hopefully something works in mine. No, I'm not as fast as he is, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, still works for me.
Johnny, what about you? Do you try to pass any of your knowledge along to some of the younger guys like Calais?
I try to pass it to everybody I can, just so I can say I try to help them, even when I'm going against offensive linemen, you know, even when I'm going against guys that I know that I can see small things in. It's even like Calais. He talks to me just like sometimes he older than me. I'm like, yeah. You know, but it's a certain thing. If you want to be good in the team, as a team, you got to be able to take, you know, criticism from coaches, players that have done it, and players who can see what you can and can't do.
That's really interesting. You just said that you talk to even some of the offensive linemen. You help them out as well. Do you talk to the offensive line coaches? Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I have to because, you know, I've seen so much. And I can see when a guy is doing bad. The reason why I got 124 sacks is because I know how to beat that person in front of me.
So it's like, really a simple thing,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, so me talking to some of the guys on my team, I don't want to see them fail on small things that I know they're giving away.
Well, you know, not to talk offense here, but real quick, on Monday, I saw you have a long conversation, Calais, with Bradley Sowell. Were you trying to do a little bit of maybe what John Abraham has done in his time with some of the old linemen?
100%. You know, 100%. I feel like offensive linemen, the younger ones, need to learn is what we're trying to do to beat them. You know, and that's why I think the older offensive linemen, the guys who have been doing it for a long time, they understand what our game plan is. And if you know what they're trying to do to you, you can prepare yourself better. So we were just, you know, went over, like, you know, the way I play the game and what I'm looking for. And, you know, I gave him my advice and what he should be looking for. You know, I think he has a lot of potential, though, so it's just good to get to him. And, I mean, we need him to win, so, you know, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help him win games.
That sort of reminds me of Patrick Peterson, said he's a much better corner now since he started playing receiver. You know, you get sort of that viewpoint on from the other side of the football. Yeah.
So to that point right there, John, do you think you'd be a better offensive line coach or defensive line coach if you ever went into coaching?
I think I'm a good football player.
I'm
not going to be much of a coach, man. Hey, when I'm done, hey, I like to be active. Hey, but I'm like, yeah, I can't see myself coaching.
Really?
Some of these attitudes right now, you know how it is. Yeah, I'd be a good player.
Little old school, huh?
Yeah, old school guy right here.
How much talking are you going to be doing with the Atlanta offensive linemen? I imagine there's going to be some conversations,
you know,
huh?
It's going to be nice to see some of my old friends, but at the same time, it's kind of like you see boxers after the fight.
Okay.
But during the fight, I ain't really got too much to say. Hopefully I can talk to Matt more than anybody. That means I'm getting close to him. So.
Exactly. We're just getting started with John Abraham, Calais Campbell. It is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Wilson under center. It is a quarterback sneak to the left, and Wilson doesn't get there. Calais Campbell with a big hit.
Calais Campbell comes down on a pinch and collapses the left side of the line.
Into the 40-yard line is Lynch, and again, wrestled down by Calais Campbell. And back to throw goes Wilson with time in the pocket. Going to get hit by Shaughnessy and sacked at the 7-yard line. The ball is fumbled. It's still loose, and the Cardinals have it. It's picked off by Campbell, and he's tackled at the 3-yard line.
Dirt Lickers unite!
There you go. It's time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. And I tell you what, along that defensive front against Seattle, it was all about Calais Campbell and John Abraham. Absolutely, it is a Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi and Ron Wolfley. So simply put, the numbers, Calais, a season-high 9 tackles for you, 2 tackles for loss, a fumble recovery. You were definitely an impact player all night long. Was that your best game all season?
You know, I felt like it was my most consistent game. You know, I definitely felt like every play I was doing the right thing and making a difference and really, you know, feeling dominant, you know. But, you know, I feel like I still have to play a couple plays out there. On a fumble recovery, I really should have got to the end zone.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say
no,
that.
No, I messed it up. I should have picked it up first. So you got lucky. You got lucky I dropped it.
What do you think you guys got off to a slow start defensively? The first two possessions for the Seahawks, they took it down the field and scored a touchdown each time. One possession, a 5-play drive. The next one, an 11-play drive. What happened? Why do you think you guys got off to a slow start?
I personally think we got surprised by what Sidney Rice, you know, did. Because, I mean, he's haven't had many catches this year. And not saying he's not a good receiver. It was just like it was a good play by, you know, both by, you know, the quarterback and both by the receiver. Because I think he only had maybe like 9 or 10 catches for the whole year. Then he goes out and, you know, gets wide open. You know, sometimes you sleep on some people and then you end up getting bit.
Yeah, that was the 31-yard touchdown catch. When you start a game, how much are you sensing what sort of adjustments an offense makes? And then after that first or second possession, no matter what game it is, do you have to come back and make adjustments yourself at the bench?
Yeah, every game, you know, after the first drive or two, you come to the sideline and you make adjustments. You know, this last game, Russell Wilson was scrambled to his right, and he was just getting real, real deep. And we're blitzing from that side, but we're blitzing too flat, and we'll lose contain. And he's dangerous on the run, throwing the ball. I mean, he was running for his life, but threw a strike for a touchdown. You know, most quarterbacks can't do that. But once we figured out to blitz a little wider and make him step up, you know, I mean, we started containing him a little better.
What was it like? What was it like for you guys playing on Thursday night and playing 5 days after you had already played the San Francisco 49ers that Sunday previous? What was that like, guys?
I know personally it was just because of them being, in our division and in our conference, it's going to be a tough game regardless. So it's a lot of emotions going on. And, you know, even in the San Francisco game, us losing that game hurts just personally because we see them twice a year. Mm-hmm. And then coming back in Seattle, you know, those are a lot of stress on the people, you know, coming back in right back for Thursday game. But we can't talk trash because they had the same amount of rest we had.
Right.
And, you know, and it's definitely a game that, you know, when we see them again, we got to win.
How is Russell Wilson different now that you played all three of them in a row there than, you know, Colin Kaepernick and Cam Newton? How is Russell Wilson sort of a singular quarterback, a singular challenge?
You know, I think he does a good job keeping his vision downfield while he scrambles. You know, where some of the other guys, when they decide to run, they run. Whereas Russell Wilson, he'll beat you with his feet, but he's also looking to beat you with his arm while he's beating you with his feet. So he just makes him, you know, such a more intense dual threat.
What are your thoughts on Marshawn Lynch?
He's a beast. I mean, you can't knock it. It's kind of like you play against opponents. A lot of people who try to down him when they try to say they're bad. He's a heck of a running back, and I think he's gotten better every year he's been in the league. And facing someone like that, like you want to face some good running backs to see if you're a good defense. You don't want to face guys you don't hear about. You don't want to face a guy who hasn't had yards, hasn't been productive, hasn't done that. Because if you let them, you know, get big yards on you, you got to feel bad about yourself. You know, we knew he can still run the ball and still break it, but we still didn't allow him 100 yards rushing. And that's a positive we can get out of it, but we did give him big runs here and there.
Calais, how did you feel? I saw you boned up a couple of times on Marshawn, didn't you?
Yeah, I think he runs tough, and he's a great running back. He's probably the most physical running back in the game. But I feel like, you know, we really we let him get going a few too many times. You know, if you hit him early, make him stop his feet in the backfield, I mean, he's just like any other running back. You know, he goes down. But when you let him get going, I mean, he's a full head of steam. I mean, he's tough to stop.
Yeah, 21 carries, 91 yards. So the Cardinals defense, if you look at the entire season, has 15 takeaways right now. The rush defense, you know, as a whole has been much better than a year ago. Only three teams have more takeaways, et cetera. What do you like about the defense right now? What needs to get better, Calais? As you go into this one, give us a state of the defense address, if you will.
You know, I feel like our defense is we're very talented, and we have a great scheme. We play physical. We play hard. And I feel like the biggest things that we need to work on is limiting our mistakes. You know, I feel like we're so still new. Everybody's trying to figure it out that we still make one too many mistakes in games. And then on our turnovers, we have to capitalize. We have to get them into the end zone. We have too many playmakers on our team for us not to get points on the board.
What did you guys do over the weekend? I mean, did that feel weird, having it off?
Relaxed. I mean, I was never relaxed.
Did you watch any football?
Uh-uh. No. Hey, I watched enough
for
5 days. Yeah, but I just relaxed and got ready for the next game. And all the football, like, I don't even watch Thursday night football if we ain't playing the guys. It's just I got my own business to worry about. And these two teams, we just play, so I don't got to see them no more this year, you know. So I kind of, like, just try to, like, right now I'm focusing on the Falcons. You know, it's just I always focus right on who's up next, and I don't try to get too much into it.
What about you, Calais, over the weekend? What'd you do?
You know, I kick back, relax a little bit. I did watch a little football, but I was just, you know, checking in here and there. I didn't really, you know, typically I watch a lot more football, but, you know, this time I was just wanted to catch my breath, relax for a second, you know, regroup and get away from football for a second so I come back in strong this week. And I feel like that was good for me because I feel like this week's been a good week.
How do you keep losing your voice? I mean, it's been since, there hasn't been a game since last Thursday. I mean, how do you keep losing your voice? What's
My
going
voice
on?
It's been like this since Thursday.
You going to, like, rock concerts? What's going on? You know, I trying to figure that out over there. So, John, when you're done with football, right, when you call it a career, are you going to quit football cold turkey? Are you going to be a guy who, when you're retired, will still follow the game?
I'm going to still follow the game. It's been my living for, like, since I was literally 17 years old when I first started playing football my senior year in high school to now, and it's been such a blessing to me. I would definitely continue to watch it, but I always have other pursuits I want to do in life, you know. So, and you know, saying that I've been doing this 18 years of my life, and I'm 35, so 17 years I've been doing this longer than I've been doing anything else, so it'll always be a part of my life.
Very interesting. All right, it's the Big Red Rage. We continue with Calais Campbell and special guest John Abraham, all presented by Santan Ford here at Chandler Fashion Center. 3rd and 13. Low snap. Wilson back to throw, in trouble. Tyrann Mathieu coming. Wilson's pass near side incomplete. And Mathieu put a lick on Wilson. Actually, kind of funny watching those two guys. You got the two smallest guys on the field.
Yeah.
That's 5'8 on 5'8 crime in the backfield, Mathieu against Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Honey power, activate. Form of a badger.
All right. Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, enjoying the performance and then some, adding a little flavor and color there to Tyrann Mathieu, sort of like he adds to his due. He calls that the Badger Hawk, and now he's rocking that all over again. Yes, the Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu, by the way, is a sack. He has an interception. He has a game-saving tackle against Detroit. So the question to John Abraham and Calais Campbell here on the Big Red Rage, your thoughts as you go into Week 8 on the rookie, the third-rounder Tyrann Mathieu. What do you think now? How has your opinion evolved on him as a player, especially now? He's been getting as many snaps as anyone on defense.
Yeah, he really has, and he's capitalized and made the best of them. I mean, he's a step away from, like, 7 sacks, just like he's, like, a step away from, like, 20 sacks, really. So, you know, those guys, you know, I mean, to play with a guy like that who approaches the game the right way, really is passionate about the game, you know, he's the kind of guy I want to play with for a long time.
Johnny, have you noticed anything about the Honey Badger? Have you noticed anything about the way he prepares? You know, you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of rookies. Your thoughts on Tyrann?
I guess my biggest thought was everybody knows. You know, the problems he had in college, he was able to overcome. And you can see the passion of what he had in football. Because a lot of times when people think you go through things, they don't understand how much you really do care about. And I think that seeing him play now, seeing the way he, like, handles himself and how he totally changed, you know, and he's doing it, you know, for himself now. Because, you know, first come to worst, like, everybody like to have a good time, but when it comes to what's serious, like when it's family, football, your work, whatever you really like, and you get to it, I think it really, like, brings you back to being a humbler person. And I think it humbled him a lot, and I think it's showing the way he played and the way he's handling himself since he, you know, as a rookie, yeah, you can't tell he's a rookie. And, I mean, obviously you know he is, but you can't tell the way he plays.
You know, you mentioned in the last segment, you didn't start playing football till your senior year in high school. Is that correct?
Yeah. My mom, I broke my ankle playing a pickup game when I was in eighth grade, and she said, don't play football no more. So I said, all right. So then my senior year, I wanted to get some more accolades in the senior book, so I said, I'm going to play football.
You just did it for the girls. You went out for the girls, basically.
Basketball, track, and I played band 1 year. That was my freshman year. That was because my girlfriend was in the band. That's the only reason I didn't last long, though. I did not last long.
What did you play?
Yeah, what instrument?
Percussion, the easiest thing. I'm not playing no women. Yeah, the percussion was easy.
I was big on the triangle myself.
Really? That's called the percussion.
Yeah.
All that, man.
It's not a bad story. Out of the high school band to a 17-year NFL career. Not bad.
God on his truth, man.
That's amazing.
I know. It's the truth, man.
How do you guys deal, and you mentioned it, how do you guys deal with being a half step away from a sack, but you don't quite get it? You know, I mean, that's mentally, you guys have to cope with that, don't you?
Yeah, that's the toughest part right there, man. That's what makes getting one, though, that much more sweet. When you actually get there, all the work you put into it, and you finally get them down, you get up, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, it's like that makes it feel good because there's so many times where we're half a step away, and you're so close, but just not close enough.
How difficult is it to actually pull off a quarterback? You know,
it's getting tough. I understand you, first of all. That was a good question because, first of all, I got to understand you got a 300-pound guy pushing you in the back. And you trying to slow down, it's almost impossible. I mean, I don't think people understand. First of all, I'm running at full speed. This guy is strong as I don't know what and push me in my back, and you telling me I got to ease up.
Right.
I mean, I don't like seeing nobody hurt. Let me take that back. I don't like seeing nobody injured. I do like to hurt people.
Yeah.
Injury and hurt is different.
I
take that back. Yeah,
I
take that back. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just the same thing as, but, you know, it's part of football. Now, you know how when you used to play to now, how easy it's totally different. You can almost kill people.
There's nothing wrong with standing over a guy that's wheezing on the ground.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's going to be all right. And guess what? There were many times where you were the one wheezing on the ground.
No question. Yeah. I got stories.
So, John, how are you a different player under the current rules than maybe you were as a New York Jet?
You know, the funny thing is, I'm the same player. I'm just a smarter player. I mean, because when I was younger, probably like how Calais can say this, when he was younger, when he first got in the league, it was more physical. You know, it was more like I'm going off my natural ability. Now I know the game inside out now. That's why I'm able to tell him stuff now, and I can be confident in saying it. And I know, like, well, this is going to happen. You know, when I was younger, it was kind of like, I'm just ain't going to mess up. And it was kind of like you didn't really talk to everybody else because you want to make sure you was right all the time. Now I can talk to everybody and feel comfortable with it. You know, I think that's the biggest way I changed from, you know, now to then.
How about you, Calais? How have you changed since your rookie year?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, when you're young, you just go in there and try to bully everybody, just play with pure talent. But as you get a little older, you start thinking about, you know, the smart way to play, you know. Try to set your man up, you know, what moves work, you know, so you make a lot more plays doing it that way.
You're seasoned.
Exactly.
Have you thought much about the Pro Bowl this year? And because, you know, Wolf went 4 times, they got the balloting, it's now open, 2014 Pro Bowl balloting, right? Balloting, you go to azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. Has that been on your mind at all? Think about that. We're going to ask you about that when we come back, all right? It's the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, John Abraham, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
pump, throws left side. Gonzalez has it at the 10, makes a man miss at the 5, and Gonzalez into the end zone for the touchdown. Down the right sideline, Tony Gonzalez. Ryan to throw, sets, floats it for Gonzalez, right side of the end zone, reaches out, makes the catch, it's a touchdown. Tony Gonzalez into the end zone for the second time tonight.
All right, we could talk about Tony Gonzalez, right, and how Larry Fitzgerald has caught a pass in 140 straight games, and then you look at Tony Gonzalez, and it's 201, and you realize just the type of production from a Hall of Fame caliber tight end, a certain Hall of Famer, and, you know, I continue here on the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, John Abraham, Ron Wolfley, but John, you played with him how many years? You tell us about Tony Gonzalez and what we need to know.
He's an avid pro, and also he's physical specimen. I mean, think about it, just to be played at a level like that, at that age and at that position, because a lot of tight ends don't play that long. Like, I mean, they play maybe, like, you know, 10 years. I give you a good 10 years of tight end, but you probably going to end up being a blocking tight end, not a catching tight end by then. You know, the people seem to slow down. It's just like he knows how to position, because, you know, I'm sure he's not as fast as he was as a rookie. Everybody know that. I know I'm not either, but you learn the tricks of the trade. That's like I said with me. When I first got in here, it was just straight physical ability. Now it's more like, hey, if I don't run that way, I don't got to worry about going that way. So, you know, it's just small things you learn with the game coming. I think Tony has pretty much classified that, and he's made it, you know, his thing.
How do you feel, John, about playing your old team? You know, it's hard for me to imagine
honestly,
what that's
honestly,
like.
I can say, really, it don't really bother me. I just keep telling everybody, maybe when the game start, but for right now, it's just like, I want to get me a win. We got to get to 4-4 because, you know, they're the next team up. I keep telling everybody, maybe if we went back to the Georgia Dome, it would feel kind of strange. But I'm here now with y'all, and it is just another opponent coming in. You
right.
know, I'm seeing a black helmet, and I'm going to see a white helmet, and I know I got to hit the black helmet now, so that's all I'm worrying about.
But you know the guys that are behind that cage. You know them. Personally,
and you know, like when it comes to me, like it's kind of like even in practice, like when we going hard at practice, we don't worry about like you know. And then after that, we might be out of practice. Like that was a great hit of this. So the game in my mindset is kind of like I'm going hard as I can against them, mm-hmm. not because they're the Falcons, not because it's because they're the next game and we need this win. That's how my mindset always been. Because even when I played the Jets, we went back to New York, so it was kind of funny going back there in another outfit, but. I just play the game.
You know, you were asked this week, do you have something to prove against the Falcons? You're pretty definitive. Your answer?
I said, I feel like I already proved it. I was playing seven years. I was like, if they don't know me by now, if I got to prove something now to them, something ain't right. I'm like, something ain't right if I got to prove something to them.
Who's got the advantage, John? Who's got the advantage? Because these players also know you. So can you use that knowledge against them? Who's got the advantage mentally?
I said we both have advantages, but at the same time, they know how bad and how good I can be. And I don't think they want to see me go bad on them. You know, like, oh, my God. So I think the advantage is for both of us because we study a lot of film. Like, and I think our advantage is actually in Todd Bowles. Because Todd is he's a heck of a defensive coordinator. And, like, I knew Todd my rookie year. He was with us at the Jets. And he has situations that make us better. As you see in Calais doing this, you see we got D. Wash back. You got him going in there. He always try to get us one-on-one matchups because he see the kind of talent we have. And having a defensive coordinator, I think that's a big advantage for us.
So, Calais, to what degree have you guys got John Abraham in a room this week, you know, devising the game plan, maybe a white light in his eyes, trying to remember any sort of factoid or detail or scatter report, you know, a little minutia about his former teammates, or is that totally overblown by media guys like me?
Overblown.
Yeah. I mean, you can't glean much out of that or gain much of an advantage?
I mean, really, every week we always have a conversation on the sideline going over the offensive line, what he sees on film, what I see on film, and usually he sees a lot more than I do and just gives me all the stuff, so I know I need to work on to win. And, you know, after he tells me about it, I try to find out myself on film. But it's the same thing this week. You know, these guys, he knows a little bit better, but he's been breaking them down on film, and he tells me, like, what they like to do. And I just kind of, you know, look for it myself and see what I could do to beat them.
But, John, you practice against these guys for the last 6-7 years. I know, for example, Bradley Sowell against Carolina, he was terrified inside, he admitted later, because he's going against Greg Hardy, a guy he went against every day in practice for 3 years at Ole Miss.
I definitely feel that way. But, like I said, their offense has changed a lot. I mean, you know, going from having a Michael Turner to a power running team to now they're more like a I guess, a man-type team, a zone-type running team. So, you know, when you have, I guess, different caliber players or different type of players, you got to change your offense. Because I'm watching the offense now, it looks nothing like the offense I saw before. Sure, I know the people, and I know Matt, and I know Roddy, I know everybody on there, but, like, the offense is not the same offense that they ran when I was there. And I'm not stupid. They know I'm coming, so that they ain't going to say the same stuff they said when I was there.
Well, it's really interesting just knowing how cerebral you are as a player and how long you've been around and how successful you are. I thought you'd be up there with the clicker. You know, I thought you'd be up there pointing at these guys, yeah, breaking them down their offensive line.
I really do, but I'm like I'm saying that the guys up there now, I told them, I said, they're ain't as good as the people we had before. You know, I tell them, I can't tell all the secrets.
No, right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Now we're getting
No bulletin board. No bulletin board.
Absolutely,
stuff,
you know? Yes.
Hey, are you Arizona's next millionaire? That is a question. Maybe you are the answer. Purchase tickets for the Health and Wealth Raffle benefiting Barrow and St. Joe's by October 30th. Visit healthwealthraffle.org. That is healthwealthraffle.org. We roll on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell and John Abraham, our guests here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford.
Second down and four at the Rams 8. Jackson, the running back. Ryan shoots it to Jackson at the 5. Steven to the pylon, reaches. Give it to him. Touchdown, Atlanta. He carried Alec Ogletree into the end zone for his first Falcon touchdown.
All right, there you go. You got to go back a ways for that because he has missed the last four straight games with a hamstring injury, Steven Jackson. But, Calais, I know the respect you have for the longtime Rams running back who you would match up with twice a year. It's the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, John Abraham, Ron Wolfe over there, Paul Calvisi here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center presented by Santan Ford. So for guys who are going against Steven Jackson for the first time, what do you tell them?
He's big, he's fast, and he runs hard. You know, but you can see all that on film. You know, you see what kind of player he is. He approaches the game hard. You know, he really, you know, if you let him get going, I mean, he could turn it on. He is a little bit of jets for his size. But if you hit him early, keep him clogged in the backfield, you know, contain him, don't let him get out. I mean, you know, you really limit his ability. You know, he's just, you know, a big guy that can move. But if you hit him in the backfield, make him stop his feet a little bit, it just turns into a big guy that goes down.
Guys, what has been the Falcons' problem in regard to rushing the football? They're 30th overall in the National Football League in rushing yards per game, but they're also number 25 in rushing yards per play. So they're not trying to run the ball very often, and when they do try to run the ball, guess what? They're not having a lot of success. Why do you think that is, guys?
Well, personally, I think it's because they gave him that quarterback $20 million. So we want to see him throw that ball as much as possible. So
yeah.
I think that's a big thing. And also, like I said, they're not the same type of running team they were. Like they trying to change how their running game goes, you know, with having Steven come in there. You know, and also having, you know, the other running backs there, their running backs are more of like they can run out the backfield. They're kind of like, you know, people that can – return kicks, so they're trying to get the ball to them as much as possible, you know. And sometimes it's better to do a flare screen or something like that to get it to them than to have them try to run through the line.
But, you know, that was my takeaway from last year. And you played in that game just on the other side for the other team there, John, is that, you know, Matt Ryan had an awful game, probably the worst game of his career. He had 5 picks. He had a QB rating of 40. He had no touchdown passes, but they kept throwing the ball. Yes. Even though the Cardinals were struggling offense and didn't run away with it, but, you know, 1 pick, 2 picks, 3 picks, it was still pass first, second, and third.
Hey, I remember that game very well. I remember that game very well. I had a couple sacks in there, so I can't.
I do remember that as
well.
Yeah,
I had a couple. But, you know, Matt is the kind of guy, you know, he has a short-term memory when it comes to quarterback, and he's a guy that can win a game for you, you know. So we got to keep, you know, I guess, him passing the ball and getting it down again. And, you know, having like Julio, well, you know, when he had Julio, having Roddy, you know, having Harry Douglas, having, you know, anybody, like all those people, all these weapons, you know, I'm sorry, Tony Gonzalez, having all these weapons, you know, why would you? Like, come on, we got to throw it around. You know, they have so many weapons on that, you know, I can see why they, you know, throw the ball so much, and their run game might be a little bit down than it was before.
It really is astounding, Paulie, when you look at the numbers and realize I think Matt Ryan might be having his best year because you've got Julio Jones, done for the season, of course. Roddy White was basically a decoy for the first four games of the season, nursing a hamstring. He's a question mark for Sunday as well. Yes, you've got Tony Gonzalez, no doubt about it, but Steven Jackson's hurt in the second week of the season. He's missed a lot of time, and yet the Atlanta Falcons, number nine, top 10 in virtually every offensive category save for rushing the football. It's truly a testament, I think, to Matt Ryan and his development.
Yes.
Well, look what he did against Tampa last week. I mean, he's the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week. His QB rating was 148, you know, and they didn't have Steven Jackson last week. I mean, you figure, okay, it's going to be a pass-first offense, and they still got it done. And I'll give you a sobering stat here, Calais. I showed you this in the break. In the Cardinals' four losses, guess what? Opposing tight ends have 29 catches for 495 yards and seven touchdowns in those four losses. If there's any key to the game, it's stop the tight end and Tony Gonzalez. Hello.
Stop 100%.
I mean, let me ask you, is there an easy explanation as to why that has been so problematic this year? I guess Darryl Washington being out the first four games certainly didn't help.
Definitely. You know, he's a guy that you could put on the tight end and really beat him up a little bit, make him have to work to get catches and get the ball. And I think that if you do that, it really makes the tight end have to really work extra hard, gives us more time to get pressure, you know, and get sacks. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, just guys had good days, the right time, right place, and, you know, we have to figure out to stop them. But, you know, we will. We have a great our scheme is on point. You know, like he said earlier, Todd Bowles is a great coach, and that's the best thing he also utilizes his players to put him in the best position to win. And, you know, I think that we'll have that fixed real quick and easy.
Johnny, how would you characterize the Atlanta Falcon defense? Because there's a lot of guys on that side of the
match. I haven't watched them. I was watching us so much this year, you know, because when I first got here, my big thing was getting to know everybody and getting to, you know all the defense. And because, you know, when I first came in, the reason why I'm starting now, you know, two people had to get hurt, and I hate that. But, you know, I'm still glad that I got the opportunity to, you know, be a starter again. But my biggest thing was trying to watch us more than anything because I had to catch up quick. When I was in Atlanta, I was there for so many years, I knew everything. So for here, it was more like learning all the, you know, the verbal stuff, learning all, you know, the physical stuff.
Terminology.
Learning who's going to be here, who's going to be over here, learning who can wash my car, learning. I had all kind of stuff to learn, you know, just learning people's names was like a big thing. So it was more of me just trying to get myself situated at the time.
Yeah, how much has it helped you to be an every down player again because of the injuries versus a situational pass rusher?
Just getting into the flow of the game, you know, because a lot of times you throw somebody in the game one time, you expect them to, like, go and get it and get it and get it, but that's not how I play. You know, you can get a sack on the first play or the last play, but if you're sitting on the bench, it's almost impossible.
And is there truth that pass rushers will set up an offensive lineman? And do you need those consistent snaps for that?
And that is exactly what I was telling people, that anybody knows me know I like to be on the field, regardless of what's going on. And especially when we need a big play, I want to be somewhere around, you know, on the field somewhere. And you definitely – it's hard to set somebody up for one play. If I gave you one play to, like, do something big, it's really tough. But if I give you 50 plays, you got a little more time to, you know, get it. I think I only missed one play in the last Thursday night game. So, you know, if I would have been on the bench a couple of times, I might have, you know, got that, you know.
Hey, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or Ticketmaster.com. What did the GM say about John Abraham right after he signed him? That's next on the Big Red Rage.
John obviously brings an element that we don't and have not had. The one thing about him is, I've said this before, sometimes when you study a 35-year-old on tape, he looks like a 35-year-old. For whatever reason, I don't know if they put this guy in wax or whatever it was, but this guy can still get off the rock. I mean, he had 10 sacks last year, 7 forced fumbles. His get-off to this day is still like I remember back when I scouted him at South Carolina.
There you go. That's the GM, Steve Keim. It was an August edition, a preseason edition of the Big Red Rage, and that wasn't too long after he had signed John Abraham. And he is our guest tonight on the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. And you have any memories? What were your thoughts when you met? Did you actually meet and interact with Steve Keim before you signed on the line that is dotted?
I met him, but, you know, it was so long ago. Mm-hmm. And then I meet him again, you know, three, 4 months ago. I was like, you know, like, John, I remember you from here. And then he started telling me things. And I'm like, I remember you now. But you don't understand, he might have had hair then. I don't know. you know, it might have been a whole. It's kind of like when I was in college, like, people see my college picture now, like, that's you? I'm like, yeah, because I had hair. You was looking all nice. So you never know. I just, like, you know, because a lot of people that still know me and I still know them, but it was like, like, dude, cause like even like I said with Todd, like getting to see Todd again, seeing John Lott, seeing guys that were with me with New York and now in Arizona together, it's like, hey, even Tom, like with our trainers, I'm like, it's like, this is crazy. Because if you would have told me I still was in this league like right now, I probably wouldn't believe it, you know?
What do you think you guys are going to have to do in order to beat Atlanta's offense and win this game from a defensive perspective?
We got to shut down Tony Gonzalez, especially because the stat he just gave me.
And don't make me break out the stat again.
But we have to be more physical. We have to put Matt Ryan on his back. You know, I know that if you hit Matt Ryan like you hit any quarterback, he'll start throwing you the ball. You know, you'll throw interceptions. That's just the name of the game, you know. So if we go out there and just shut down the running game, make them one-dimensional, which they want to be anyway, and, you know, just put pressure on the quarterback, and, I mean, it could be a great day for us.
All right, so let me ask you a question, John. What does Calais have to do to make the Pro Bowl? He has been knocking on that door as a guy who has been, Wolf has been four times.
See, I think it's, in order for him to do it, we're going to have to help him because we're going to have to win. Because a lot of times the teams that win seem to have more Pro Bowl. And I watch him. I see how he play. You know, I totally think he deserves it. You know, but you can go to any team around the league and they're going to say, somehow they deserve it. But until people start watching us and seeing what we do as a team and seeing us win, it's kind of like San Fran last year. Hey, like, what, 9 people?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew for a fact there's other people probably better than them out there. But, you know, you start to win, people start to see you on TV. You know, people starting to, you know, understand, like, they start having his name in their mouth all the time. Mm-hmm. Then it start happening.
What do you think of the new format, guys? And, Wolf, maybe you can break this down real quick. So, I mean,
basically what they're going to do is they're just going to have fans, coaches, and players, of course, select who's going to be a Pro Bowler, and the conferences are going away. So you're going to have X amount of running backs, of course, X amount of quarterbacks that you'll vote. The conferences are just going to go away, and then they'll have Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice. They'll have these captains, if you will. They'll make a fantasy-type draft and then go play. It's just going to be two entities, two teams. But that's how they're doing it. Your thoughts on that, John?
Well, you know me. I've been to, I think, 4 Pro Bowls, and, you know, hell, everybody think there should have been more. But I think it's going to be different. Like, I don't know, because when they had it in Miami, that kind of was good and kind of was. I think it was good for people who can't fly to Hawaii. You know, people can come in the States, and I think that's why the popular thing kind of fell off, because a lot of people can't make that traveling all to Hawaii, you know. So keeping it in the States, and I got to see how it goes, man, because it seemed kind of strange to me, because I was used to seeing the NFC, AFC. Now it's going to be kind of like, I don't know who's going to, you know,
exactly.
So I don't know. It's going to be different, I guess.
Speaking of different, how different has it been without Jim Machine Shearer around, right?
Oh,
I mean, a few years ago, John Omohundro, after 43 years, 838 games, the Cardinals trainer, he retired. Now it's Jim Machine Shearer, 797 games over 40 years as a Cardinals assistant trainer.
You know, it really is different because he's one of the funniest guys you'll meet.
Oh, yeah.
Room, he brings light to my day because I just go in the trailer room and just talk trash, and they crack me up. Him being gone, you know, it really isn't the same.
He's one of the few guys who takes you down, well, verbally. I mean, he takes you down.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest Richards you're ever going to want to meet.
I tell you, he broke you guys down before the Seahawks game. That was a moment to behold, was it not, Calais?
That was interesting. I've never been broken down by a Turner before, but he said what he had to say. He had us very hyped up. That was awesome.
Yes, he did. There's no doubt about that. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, John Abraham, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell and John Abraham, are you guys aware that Matt Ryan has only been sacked 8 times in 6 games? And he's had sort of a makeshift offensive line. Sam Baker, for example, has been hurt. So how is he? Is he just getting rid of the ball?
Yeah, he really has. I mean, you got a guy that's passing the ball as quick as he can and getting it out there. And he reads so fast. You know, like I said, our big thing is my keys to the game for us to get a lead and don't give it back. And I feel like he'll have no choice but to drop back and pass. He can't do the little short, quick passes. He can't do the little screens and all that stuff. You're going to have to sit down and play ball. It's kind of like sometimes they say you got to sit down and play football, all these gadgets, all the little fun stuff, wipe it out the way. get a lead and we just start hitting them in the face.
If you're going to wax the back of one quarterback, who was it going to be?
I told you earlier, I said anyone. I don't care. Which one.
You mean anyone?
I hit.
You don't have a favorite? There's got to be somebody, Johnny.
My favorite this week would be Matt Ryan. Whoever after that, they're going to be next. Whoever after that, they're going to be next. I got them all lined up.
Calais, how about you?
It's the same way. You know, whoever has the ball, I'm trying to wax. That's just the way it is.
That's it.
Well, your line this week was you like quarterbacks because if you have them in your grass, then that's good for you.
No question. I said the reason why I got all this money from football is because of stuff I do to quarterbacks. So as long as I keep seeing them, I'll be okay.
It's the old linemen that
No question. Now, they're the ones I told you I didn't like. I don't like old linemen, but they be trying to stop me from doing my job. Besides that, my quarterbacks are cool. Hey, I can talk to them anytime.
All right, so be honest. Is there an old lineman out there who, you know what, you'd like to pay back before you retire? Is there somebody that you owe?
There's one, but he don't play no more. Ethan Shalom. He talked too much trash. I hate people talking trash, especially when you're getting chipped and you got some people doubling you and they talking trash. Yeah. One-on-one, you kick my butt, you kick my butt. But if you got help, don't talk trash.
We'll get that off the air.
Hey, special thanks as always, Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. Special thanks to everyone here at Marley's, the guys from Santan Ford, for John Abraham and Calais Campbell. Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Been another great edition of the Big Red Rage here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.